Hello, I'm Isawellen, and this is Isawellen Writes Grown-Up Storytime. Welcome. Hey everyone, I wanted to snag a surprise on you today, but I can't do it. Technical difficulties, the cutting and the pasting of my style is just driving me crazy. I just wanted to bring you a special audio drama today, and I can't. Because I cannot get the sucker to cut and paste properly. They want to layer, and no matter how I save or what I do, they just layer together, and that's not going to work, and it's very frustrating. But that's okay, kittens. Oh my gosh. Oh, okay, so I had hoped to bring you another audio drama produced by the fabulous Mute Zero today called The Stranger. If you are impatient, you can go to his YouTube channel and look it up and listen yourself. It'd be awesome, though, to be able to just hit a button and listen to it like it was on the radio instead of the YouTube. But I can't because I can't get the cutting and the pasting, which is my normal go-to, to work. I don't know why this audio is different from other audios, even when I resave it as a regular audio. You all know that I am very unprofessional, right? That I'm just happy-go-lucky, make it up as I go along. Yeah. So instead of doing that, well, I was going to do this too, but instead you just get this short little note from me. I really wanted to big gap there, sorry. I'm trying to find where I had saved so I get it right so that I can share it as a podcast, because so that maybe more people can hear this and be encouraged. And as I was reading this, I wrote a letter to parents. Now, sometimes you know, you're a kid and you're like, you hear this letter and maybe it pings something in you. You'll be like, oh, that wasn't my parents. My situation wasn't like that. And maybe there's something, even though this is meant all in fun, that like strikes you as painful. I need you to know that is not the spirit that this letter is intended as. This letter is to parents who are trying their best and feel like they're failing. This parents is to those who would give their left arm for their child and feel like it's still not quite good enough. Okay, so this is a letter to parents in the time of coronavirus. It is inspired by Letters Live. Letters Live is doing this read a letter, hashtag read a letter, but Benedict Cumberbatch, Cumberbun, Cumbercutie, got on YouTube and read in his fantastic voice a little letter that he had written. And it is to encourage, it could be a letter to anyone or anything. It could be a letter you've always wanted to write or send, a cherished letter you want to receive. It could be a letter to the NHS or a friend or a relative. It may simply be a favorite letter of yours that may brighten everyone's day. And if you've listened to me at all, you've heard how I've been pen-palling with TouchType and how important and meaningful those emails have been to me. And I jumped on this right away and wanted to do it. And then I listened to Benedict's letter again and thought, I could also do this. Because nobody says I just have to do one, right? So this is my letter to families with young children. Second time through, because the first time was ruined when I couldn't. Okay. Deep breath. Let it go. Those are the only lines I know, just so you know. Okay, here you go. You ready? Dear families with young children, how are you? Is everyone still alive? And no, that question does not relate to the virus. As a mom whose kids were once small, and as a woman who worked 10 to 12 hour days playing with the secondary mom to other people's children, I know that this time has been especially hard on you. There are so many reasons, and I can't even go over half of them in this letter. Maybe you are an essential worker, and childcare is now not only difficult, but comes with the added danger of germ warfare. If you have more than one small child, you understand the domino effect in ways that No one else can. Very rarely does just one child get sick. Our toddlers are lovely, sweet germ sharers. They still drool a bit, put random things in their mouths, and then just drop them anywhere to pick up later. Any soft thing, especially mom's shirt, is good for wiping off noses and faces. Sometimes the backs of couches work as well. Yes, mom is the toddler's favorite hanky. It is a sign of toddler true love. Think of it as a way for them to mark their territory. And then there is feeding them. Picky eaters much? Picky eaters, and there is a shortage of the one food that your picky eater will eat. Or maybe the routine change has made just the whole problem worse because now you face it at every meal, 3 times a day, and every snack another 3 times a day. Only a parent can understand the supreme horror of cutting the apple the wrong way. Or when it is the sibling who happened to eat the last fill in the blank. It's not just the tops of toddlers, it's also the bottoms. Oh, you potty trainers, you have never had less distractions in teaching this routine, but also the endless mess of toddler in transition. There are days when there are just not enough towels and washcloths and cleaning fluid in the big box store to take care of one toddler. And friends, oh friends, I really hope you have enough diapers and wipes. It only takes that one time, that one quick trip with a diapered child when you realize you have no diapers or wipes. That one blowout that goes down to the knees and up to the neck to create the irrepressible need to hoard diapers forever so that this never happens again. One must always have diapers. The anxiety of it in this is this little hot pressure in the back of every mother's head. We all laugh about it later, compare experiences. But while it's happening, a lack of diapers and no wipes is a thing of horror and hellfire that creates a diaper PTSD that we just must learn, that we must learn to accept. And that is, add that to the virus hoarding. And really, I hope you parents have everything you need at this time. Don't be afraid to ask your neighbors. Stand on the curb and yell if you have to. Trust me, they all get it. They've all been there. And no parent who has a child who has had a pooped-filled diaper in their car seat will ever turn you away. I promise. It's not just the mess of the child's body or the clutter they create. I think young children are much happier to entertain themselves in a small space with the same things every day than we are to be the ones entertaining them. They like the repetition. It sings to something in their soul and in their brain and builds a detailed understanding of whatever it is that is on repeat. That one book, that one movie, that one song, that special outfit, that one toy. Repetition is understanding, is comfort. In times of stress, repetition is not a bad thing. Unless you are the parent. Unfortunately, for you parents, the repetition your child loves is likened to a special kind of CIA level torture. It is a circular insanity that traps thoughts in a cyclone of unending simplicity. Elocution much? It is the merry-go-round you can't get off of. It is the clown calling you from the sewer. It is the nagging, poking, and paying attention to me, but I don't really need anything kind of demand that turns up stress levels by degrees until finally that blissful moment of everyone being in bed. And oh God, if that child wakes up, I'm gonna kill somebody. You are stuck at home. You can go in the yard or you can go on walks, maybe, but mostly you are trying to fill up time, expend the energy, do something interesting. It feels as if you are teaching them all the wrong things, as if all your stress about food, money, and virus, your friends, and the world is leaking out onto them. It is hard to tell what the young ones will remember. But there is a very good chance that your children will remember this as the most remarkable time of their lives. You are all together. You did things as a family all the time. You made memories over a month you otherwise would have had to save your family for a family vacation for. If you have any amount of children over the number one, the tension in the home, the new routines, and the change in daily expectations may have caused all kinds of quibbling, sniping, and nipping, so that all you are doing is listening to the arguing or putting a stop to it. Dear parents, I know that some of you have children with behavior issues, and that maybe you were sharing the load with childcare or school, but now it's just you and those beautiful little cherubs you brought into the world, your perfect little innocent lambs. And to those who cannot understand, who have never been there, this message is not for you. It's for the parents of those children. Don't kill anyone. I know it's a horrible truth we have to face, but if the thought hasn't popped into your head for at least a split second, then you are a much better person than I am. Don't kill your child. Don't kill your significant other because he or she is just not listening to you and has no clue how to deal with this particular situation. And don't kill yourself. I mean that. I have been there. And I was not on lockdown. Repetitive 5 a.m. child wake-ups and 6 or 7 p.m. child night times and wake-ups all the night long. And this, that, and the other thing. And the stress and the anger and the rage. Oh, people, I have been there. And what if you have a napless day? Oh, Lord, help me. So I say this in all love and compassion. If you make it to the nighttime tuck-in, if you are lucky enough to have a child who stays in bed past 3 a.m., if you get to that window of quiet, then no matter what happened during the day, you get a free pass, a do-over, an award. You get the highest thing because you did what the highest thing a parent can do. You got them all to bed alive and you survived. You are doing it. You can keep doing it. You are not alone. Thinking of you, Liz Owellen writes. I am not going to critique my own reading, but I want to challenge you to write a letter. Who would you write a letter to? The elderly, the care home workers, the elder care workers, the ones on the front lines, the ones who are at the fast food places, who are handling all our orders in the drive-thru under stress, the people across the world. Who would you send a message to? Or maybe it's your best friend, or it's a letter that somebody sent you that meant a lot to you. My grandmother, I have them somewhere, sent me some amazingly beautiful letters. I have pen pals from my childhood. I might have those letters too. I got a letter once from Anne McCaffrey, because I wanted to be a writer when I was in junior high. I wanted to write books. And I was inspired to read and write by her books. I also wanted to write when I was young. I've always wanted to be a writer. So I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you as you listen to this podcast to go out, write a letter, read it, share it. Use the hashtag, which I have now lost, Read a Letter, all one word. I will post this on another platform on Twitter too. So if you see it twice, just, love on it twice. Have a great day.